showtime! Woo!
Hey guys, welcome to another week of Weekly Wrestling Ramble. This week I thought I'd kind of interject and explain to you why there's no visual on this episode. So myself and Todd had gone ahead and we recorded an episode for a full 2 hours, but then for some reason the Zoom call which I was using kind of, it pulled a fast one on us, and it's gassed. So there was like an error, and for whatever reason we cannot now use the video, so we're going to have to just play this audio, and I do apologise, the audio kind of cuts out after 45 minutes. We couldn't do this show again and have the same magic as the first time round, so rather than, you know, hit the record button for another 2 hours and talk about the same stuff we already spoke about for 2 hours, I thought, you know, I'm just going to give you the 45 minutes that exists and apologise. And guys, next week, make sure to tune in, because we will be doing our predictions for the Royal Rumble, and we'll be setting the stage for us going live on the 31st of January with the Royal Rumble. So again, apologies for the technical error here, and next week, as always, we will be back on video, so you can't miss it. Here's the show. Ladies and gents, welcome back to the Weekly Wrestling Ramble. Myself, Kevin Wells, and Todd.
Hello.
This week,
episode 4.
Exactly. This week we'll be chatting about the week in wrestling, as always. Kind of got a few things to talk to you about coming next week and the week after. First of all, thanks very much for watching the SummerSlam 95 review. Some good feedback on that, and we know it was a lot of fun to do. So if you guys again have anything you want us to cover, fire it our way. We'll do it. Documentaries, wrestling tales, just the plane ride from hell. We'll skip the Montreal Screwjob because everybody's heard that a bazillion times.
You know, just on that topic, just while I remember this, I've spoke about this before. I went to a Shawn Michaels meet and greet and did a question and answer session beforehand, and towards the end of the question and answer session, a guy got to ask a question and he goes, "Sean, what really happened that night in Montreal?" And about this hall of people just went, "Oh." And Sean was like, "Hey man, we've said like everything there is to say about that. I don't really know what more you want me to tell you."
Honestly, it's been so drummed. It's just, it's been beaten and beaten and beaten. It's one of those things that I'm like, there's not really anything new to kind of come out of that.
I think if you want to know a bit more about that, it's all out there. But the Jim Cornette omnibus of Montreal is like, for me, it's like the ultimate. That and the Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels books, they kind of tell you everything you need to know.
Yeah, exactly. For you guys that are first watching, welcome to the Weekly Wrestling Ramble. You can actually go ahead now, as you can see below, the link is in the description. There's a thing we signed up for called Ko-fi, spelt K-O-F-I. And if you feel like tipping us a coffee for all our hard work and seeing our beautiful faces, I mean, Todd went through like 3 hours of makeup just to be here tonight. So,
it shows, doesn't it?
Yeah, so if you want to give them a wee tip, then by all means, just follow the link below and tip a pound or something. If you don't, let us know why you hate us. All right. So,
don't ask them that.
So this week is the penultimate week before the Royal Rumble. So there's next weekend is the, we've got the go home edition of all the of SmackDown and Raw. And then
it's the 31st. It's 31st,
yeah. So in 2 week time, we are actually going to be doing a live stream of the Royal Rumble. So you'll be able to see us in all our glory, just like this, except we'll be live, and I hope you guys will join us. We will be live on Facebook because we're not ready to do it on YouTube yet. YouTube doesn't allow you until you've got 1,000 subscribers, so get subscribing. So we'll do it live on Facebook, so make sure you check us out at Jibber Jabber Podcast on Facebook. You can follow us everywhere. Go to www.jibberjabberpodcast.com where you can find us, you can find all the socials, you can find all the information, everything you need is there. So make sure to follow us and we'll go live, and if you guys are watching it, come and join us and we'll make it.
Absolutely, especially, I mean, we've been doing this for years together, like especially this last year. Mm-hmm. We usually get together at one of our houses, but I've actually quite enjoyed the Zoom. I was sceptical at first about how it would go down, but we did WrestleMania, we did Survivor Series, and it was good fun. So bring along your munchies and join us. We'll chat to you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We'll probably go live around midnight. I know that there's a pre-show starting about 10, but who watches that anyway? I mean, if anything, we're just going to kill all our energy that we probably won't have already. So we'll probably start about midnight here in the UK time, and we'll just kind of give a wee bit of a... yeah, exactly. Next week, we will do the Royal Rumble predictions, and we'll maybe have a look at past awesome. Royal Rumbles, yeah? Yes. And we'd also like to know your Royal Rumble predictions. So if you're watching this on YouTube, which you are, if you're listening via Spotify or whatever, get in contact or just comment below and let us know who you think is going to win the Royal Rumble. And your comment will be highlighted here on the screen if you get it correct.
Right, okay, we'll give you a shout out. Well, yeah, that's awesome. That's good. This is like us planning during the show. So yeah, totally up for that. So next week is Royal Rumble prediction week. Nice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not only that, we can kind of take a look at previous Royal Rumbles and what was your favourite. Mine is Royal Rumble 2000, but we'll get into that next week.
Yes, that's for next week.
So we're going to kick off the show by talking about Monday Night Raw this week.
Oh, yes.
Todd, did you watch Monday Night Raw?
You know what? I did. I watched Monday Night Raw. I didn't watch it live, but I did. I managed to watch the show, and I actually quite enjoyed this. And I'll just get straight to the reason why. And a lot of people are maybe going to groan and say, oh, you're just like Vince, you love your legends. Triple H was on this show, and Triple H gave this show legitimacy this week. He got, you know, it was just good to see him back in a wrestling capacity. Good to see him back as the Game. Feuding with probably the best thing Raw has got going for at the moment, Randy Orton. Yes, I very much enjoyed Raw this week. That's my takeaway from it. But of course, did you watch Raw as well, Kevin?
Yeah, actually, I tried to watch it live and then fell asleep. And that's not because of Raw. That's because we live in the UK and we've got to wait till midnight to watch it. So yeah,
we're used to that by now, though, aren't we?
Yeah, of course. So I started watching Raw. I saw Triple H return. I thought, oh, this could be interesting. Is this the first time ever that Triple H has, is it the first time he's ever shown up and had two different entrance themes in the one night?
It probably is. It probably is.
It's a Raw first. I'm surprised we didn't hear Michael Cole say it.
when I seen him and I was like, is this the first time we've seen you since Mania? And then I thought back to this year's Mania and I went, oh my God, Triple H wasn't at Mania this year. And I was kind of thinking to myself, why did I not make a bigger deal of that at the time? Mm-hmm. I'm personally hoping he will be this year. But yeah, maybe that's why that's why I was pumped. I was trying to all it went through my mind was, when was the last time did we see Triple H on a sort of wrestling capacity? It's probably one of the Saudi shows, if I'm honest. But no, I did not think. I used to always have it in my mind that when he was in face mode, he'd come out to, you know, the Game, you know, just his regular theme. And then when he was heel, he'd come out to the one that I personally prefer, which is On Your Knees for the.
It's my
favorite.
No.
Don't get me wrong, I do like both themes, but for me, I really like the damn it. I always hear my head on your knees, dog bitch.
Dog, I think.
No, he doesn't say bitch, but I just in my head I always hear on your knees, bitch. Maybe that says more about me than anything else. But...
hey. Ha 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 ha.
Good shit.
Exactly. Yeah, it was cool seeing him back, and I thought, okay, we're going for the whole evolution thing yet again. But hey, the two of the Triple H and Randy Orton have a good cadence to the promos together. It's like they're so natural, and of course, why wouldn't they be? You know, they traveled the roads together for years.
They play on that history. They've got good chemistry together. Two good workers. Somebody I seen posted saying, "Don't bother watching Raw this week. It's just a repeat from 2009." But that's the type of comments. I was like, "No, don't need any of that. These two guys can still go."
Well, I don't know. I think Randy would bring the best of Triple H now. After that whole debacle with DX and the Brothers of Destruction, it kind of shows that not being in the ring does take its toll.
That's true. I'm still of that opinion. I know Triple H is in his 50s now, but I feel he's one of the part-timers who I still trust to go.
You know, trust. Like, I like how you say that. Who I still trust. Like, can you do this for me?
You know, I mean, you talk about Taker and his last years. Let's be honest. It was always like, what Taker's going to show up this year? Goldberg. He's still jacked, and we'll see if he's never been able to go. But what I mean is, Triple H can still. I still trust Triple H to work a good match. Mm-hmm. You know, he's. I love the term they use, the ring general term.
Yeah,
he's a ring general. You can get a match. He's never going to be Shawn Michaels or Bret Hart. He never was, but he's a good hand. Always been a good worker. I still trust him to go. Babbled on a bit there.
So we see the show kind of kick off with Roman Reigns and Paul Heyman. This is the whole. I'm kind of no understanding here how Roman Reigns, just because he's now the head of the table, gets to run roughshod like Triple H and Stephanie back in 2000. Like, who put him in charge? Where's the authority?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's just.
God, I'm going on about SmackDown already, aren't
I? Yeah, I was struggling. I was struggling. I was like, Roman Reigns head of the table. I was like, I was trying to think, is the wild card role? I was like, did I see Roman Reigns and Raw? No, I didn't.
Sorry. Keith Lee and Sheamus.
Keith Lee and Sheamus, our favourite Irish 1-800 fella.
What is it like? They were celebrating, it went to ad break, came back and they were fighting. like, what the hell?
It's wrestling.
I mean, I don't know. I don't think. Have they kind of dropped the ball with Keith Lee?
I wouldn't go that far yet. I mean, he's getting TV time. I mean, to be fair, when he first, I'll own up, I'm not a big NXT guy. I don't watch it. It's not anything against NXT. There's just so much wrestling nowadays that you just can't watch four shows in 1 week, guys. It's too much content. And NXT doesn't, sure, it's good stuff. Sure, there's a lot of good people on there, but it's never been. So Keith Lee, I didn't know a lot about other than Brock Lesnar. Put him over quite well at the Royal Rumble because he was like, oh, look, big guy. And I was kind of like, yeah, I was kind of like Brock. Didn't have a clue who he was, so I was like, oh, yeah, big guy. but yeah, from what I understand, he was booked like completely different in NXT. And then he came out, he had a different outfit and he was sent back to do more training and things like that. So maybe some people would argue they've dropped the ball already. I don't personally feel that. I don't think they've had a ball to drop yet. I think they're still pretty much building this guy.
He has a specific way in which he talks. It's almost like this.
Yes, he's something different. If you said to me, if somebody said to me, I'm going to make a prediction that he'll be WWE champion before the year's out, I would still be like, yeah, I can maybe see that happening.
Maybe after his clean victory with Randy.
Well, it's quite clear they've got plans for him. So I don't think they've dropped the ball per se with him, but I don't think WWE's really knocking anything out of the park at the moment.
Well, we'll wait till we get to SmackDown and we'll talk about that.
Okay.
About knocking at the park. So Drew McIntyre has COVID. It seems to be all right. He looks all right. He made a wee video and his promo was really good in regards to answering Bill Goldberg. It almost made up for Bill's promo. Can I tell you something, actually? Which I found out via Raj Geary of Wrestling Inc. So that promo on Legends Night where Goldberg came out and was like, you know, you've been disrespecting everybody. Mm-hmm. Right.
It didn't make sense, we thought at the time.
Do you know why?
Vasistas.
Right. So the show ran over, right, and shouldn't have went as long as it had. When they got to that, right, so see how Drew was in the match. He was to finish the match. Then Drew was to cut a promo.
He did seem quite flustered in hindsight now, yeah.
Well, he was to cut a promo on all the legends that were on the ramp that was going to prompt Goldberg to come out and be like, no, it's no like that, actually. Which kind of paints Drew as the heel, which doesn't make sense, right?
So were they going to turn him heel in the space of like...
I don't know if they're going to turn him heel. I think they were just going to... He was just going to kind of wave his dick about a bit and be like, you know, I'm the champion. You guys paved the way, but none of you can kind of lace up my boots.
Goldberg. That's a heel.
It is, right? But there's always those blurred lines now, aren't there?
All right. Okay.
So I think, I mean, that was the plan, apparently, to which Goldberg would come out and, you know, those guys were the guys that laid the path again, face Goldberg, right? Which makes no sense. If they're going to do this Goldberg-Drew thing, they should have just brought Goldberg out heel because he would get booed anyway, regardless as to what they put in and the crowd reaction. But Goldberg was to come out and be like, you've been disrespecting these people. I'm going to take your title. And that was to set that up. But because it ran over, right, they were like, right, cut Drew. And Goldberg didn't know how to wing it. So he just went out and read the script that they gave him. Oh, and that's why it made no sense. So you could call that a promo botch from Goldberg. Like, what would you have done? What would you have done? I'd have came out, right?
For me, it's quite simple. He comes out, goes, Drew McIntyre, You're next.
There we go. There we go. Would have been really easy.
Simple.
Right.
Goldberg's always like a guy who's less said the better.
Yeah, yeah. And another thing, they could have made up for that next on the next game week without botching
that.
So
fucking stupid.
Right. But that, I mean, does that kind of speak to how out of place Goldberg is in the wrestling business?
It just speaks to the man's ability.
He had the two words to say, which was easy, right?
Yeah. I've got no beef against Goldberg. I completely get the attraction he brings in. He brings in eyes to the product. I get it. Completely understand. I respect the work he's done in his career so far. But let's be honest, the guy's never been a wrestling guy. He's very much a Brock Lesnar guy without the wrestling.
Brock can go, mate.
Mind, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. The thing about Brock is Brock doesn't have to go. That's the difference.
Yeah,
Brock can go, right? If you look at his earlier work with Eddie Guerrero, JBL, Triple H, Undertaker, you look at his earlier work, Brock can go.
Absolutely.
He's an NCAA champion.
Yeah.
You don't get that shit from not wrestling, you know?
Absolutely. I certainly don't want to knock Brock Lesnar. I don't want to bury Bill Goldberg either, because I don't dislike Bill Goldberg. I dislike the way it's been booked. Actually, I've warmed up to a little bit to the whole Goldberg and Drew at the Rumble. I was listening to the Wrestling Daft podcast, which I do, which is a good podcast as well. And they of course are quite close to Drew, and they're pretty much of the case saying, who gives a shit if Goldberg's going to beat Drew? Drew is marking the fuck out right now. He's working with Goldberg at the Royal Rumble. When I looked at it from that perspective, I was kind of like, you know what? You've been WWE champion. You're going to win it again. You might not have an opportunity to work with somebody like us. He's not maybe not the best worker, but you can say that a guy who grew up in the 1990s will be saying, I worked with Goldberg at the Royal Rumble. It's a pretty cool thing to have in your resume, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
When I look at it from that standpoint, I'm like, okay, cool. I can get on board a little bit more with this now. It's warming me up to this match.
Yeah.
So
it would be much cooler and shocking if Drew just leathers him.
It would be, but I just like we spoke about last week, I can't see a scenario where it happens unless you could get Drew getting his arse kicked, but then have shenanigans, therefore he keeps the title. You could have that, but I don't see who's going to cause such shenanigans. Or maybe he gets disqualified. I don't know. Maybe he does turn heel. We'll wait and see. We'll speak about this in the live stream. If you want to come into the live stream with us, guys, we'll talk all about it in real time. Exactly. You can tell us what you think is going to happen.
Mm-hmm. You can find that on our Facebook, so make sure to check us out on Facebook, Jibber Jabber Podcast. You can actually go to Twitter also. It's at Wrestling Ramble. If you go to Twitter and follow us on Wrestling Ramble, you'll see all. I mean, there's not really a Facebook for Wrestling Ramble, but there's a Twitter, and I think that's where the traction should be is on Twitter.
Yes, it's
the one place I find hard to grow an audience. So
it's all part of the same place. And just a little shout out, I know that you and Jordan put up the episode today where you covered off a couple of Hulk Hogan movies.
Yeah.
So that's wrestling related, so let's plug that as well.
Yes, exactly. Secret Agent Club and Suburban Commando, absolute classics.
So I'm sure, I've not watched that episode yet, but I'm sure that was a good laugh. So if you like this show and like the Wrestling Fix, go to the Jibber Jabber podcast as well, and you will listen to that episode amongst many other things. So.
Exactly. We're not hard to find at all. So we're kind of setting up now to the Royal Rumble. We've got next week, and that's it. Next week is the go-home. No, we've got 2 weeks of Raw still.
Yes. Yes. Is that right? Let me check my calendar.
Tonight, because tonight's Monday. So we have tonight's Raw, and then we've got Raw on Monday. And it's that Sunday that we'll have. So there's still two to go. It's interesting to see kind of where they're going to...
It's getting to the point that it's like that time of the year where everybody has got... A couple of people have got a storyline ongoing, but the rest of the guys who don't have a storyline going on, their storyline becomes their number and the Royal Rumble. I'm going to do this.
The Royal Rumble.
Of course, yeah.
Would it not be really cool to have, like, make it a lot more entertaining on the Raws and SmackDown heading up to the Royal Rumble? Where, like, here, guys, there's only a limited amount, and that's where we start to see people fighting over these. Do you know what I mean? It creates a reason for people to fight.
Well, they used to do that quite a bit back in the day, where like somebody would draw number 30, and they'd all be like, "I'm gonna challenge you for a match for number 30 and stuff like that." They don't
Exactly.
do enough of that anymore, but.
No, that would be much more exciting. I mean, all you see now in that kind of vein is our truth running a bit with his title. Usually, you can guarantee he'll get slapped at the start of the episode, and by the end of the episode, he'll have cheated his way back to getting his 24/7 title.
That's it.
I think. Do you
That's
know what I think? I think 24/7 title is just a way for Vince to give R-Truth something to do because he loves R-Truth.
well. It seems to be the case so far. But to be fair, Artruf's doing a good job with that.
Absolutely.
I've not got a problem with that at all, man.
No, not at all.
I like Artruf.
So, and kind of in reflect,
K-quick.
yeah, okay, quick. In reflection, Raw was kind of nothing to sing about, really.
No. I mean, I do have, of course, it ended with Triple H wrestling in a Motorhead shirt against Randy Orton in a match, which I was quite surprised to see. I was like, "Oh my God, we're actually going to have a match!" And they had the match, and then Triple H pulled out. Triple H. Here's the thing about Triple H and that sledgehammer. I think if you took 100 times over the career Triple H has pulled at that sledgehammer, I think you'll count like 6 times you maybe actually end up hitting the guy with it. Whenever Triple H pulls out that sledgehammer to me, I'm like, "All right, okay." We're almost at the end of said segment, or because he hardly ever hits anybody with that thing. And it was proven once again, the lights went out, Triple H disappeared, which he just disappeared in the thin air. And then this complete shit show of Alexa Bliss and The Fiend continues. She chucked a fireball. She went, "Wah!" and chucked a fireball at him. And,
And his face was not red or marked in any way.
I don't have problems with that because I know it's wrestling, but Alexa Bliss can shoot fireballs now. Somewhere Kane was sitting with a stunner, but and Undertaker's wondering how he's never been able to pull that shit off.
Yeah, I know.
And it also reminded me of that time in WCW where Hulk Hogan tried to light something in the corner of the ring for the Ultimate Warrior, and it just like went up. And you remember that? They had a shit show match back in the day, which is
I
always fun
remember.
to watch when Hogan was like looking in mirrors and seeing Warrior and stuff like that. But he tried to light a fireball, I think, that match. I don't know. Maybe fireballs is a natural. People might come and say fireball was used in that. Well, I thought it was quite silly. I know it meets the characters, but. The Alexa Bliss and Fiend storyline, it doesn't.
As a commentator, how do you sell that?
She.
My God! Fire just came out of her hand! My God!
I can't do any impressions like as good as
I mean,
that.
how would Justin Roberts comment on that? She fires fireballs from her hands. She is with the Fiend. This week on Raw, she came here herself with a swing set. Alexa Bliss!
Yeah, I've said from day one, I am not a fan of this Harley Quinn and Joker storyline. I think it's shit. I will stand by that. If it turns good, if it, I will eat my words. But I'm telling you right now, I'm not eating my words. This
I
is
think
shite booking.
she does have like her voice when she's talking and stuff. She's really good at that.
I've got no problems with the way Alexa Bliss is delivering. She's given it all, and she's embracing doing something different from the usual.
This is my dream to get to WWE.
From the usual gimmick that she's been used to playing. So she's enjoying it. She's embracing it. She's got a match next week, which I find that I've gone okay. Right, I can't remember who she's facing, but she does have a match next week, and I thought to myself, okay. Whoever she's going to go against is going to get beat, but how they're going to do that. But,
Nia
so that,
Jax.
so
A
no.
monster. She's such a monster. Her music's like this. She's like a monster.
You've always criticized that.
Why? Well, like, see with Nia Jax, she's big and she's like, you could pull her off like a Rusev kind of character, right? And her music should be like Brock Lesnar's, right? Yes, she's a monster. She blows her hair and she's a monster. It's just get to fuck, man. Go all in or don't fucking date. Don't call her a monster because she's not a monster. She's just banging,
No,
right?
she like she's not very I don't know the general consensus of the audience, but last I'll be honest,
Maybe he likes.
I don't read up of all things Nia Jax, but last time I was reading up a little bit about her, it was practically about how she needs to be sent back to training and she's going to endanger her. And yeah, she's not well liked at all. She has expat heat, as far as I'm concerned, with a lot of people.
Yeah.
Which is.
I saw a clip of Nia Jax during one of the, it was a match a few weeks ago, and she. she kind of botched a move. She kind of got hit and then was supposed to run to the ropes when she got to the ropes, whoever was on the apron was supposed to pull the rope down and she was to fall out. And what happened was she kind of botched the hit, turned and looked to which the whoever was there on time had pulled the rope down because she was supposed to be there. Kind of a botch on her end as well, right?
Yeah.
And she just ran and fell out the ring. I was like, what? She just ran and fell out the ring. She hadn't been hit because that was botched. So she just ran and fell out the ring.
This is like an insight to what you find funny. I
mean, stuff like that, or the time on Botchamania when you know that match between Matt Hardy and Sammy Guevara and the Private Party. Is it Private Party? Who are they?
Yeah, Private Party are the Street Profits of AEW.
Right. So they came running, they came running through the forest to help Matt. And JR,
you're talking about the deletion match, aren't you?
Aye, and JR's like this. Like a pack of monkey. It just, I'm going to find that clip and send it to you. He stops. He's like, oh.
It didn't show that.
Well, like a pack of mongers. He's like, shit. Yeah. Wrong choice of words. Just for the record, JR's not got a bad bone in his body. It was clearly
he was back in 1995 for a minute.
the forest, they're running about like dafties. So he kind of got a head of himself. He just completely stopped. It was like, classic.
If AEW had a network, that would have been edited out by now.
Yeah, exactly. It's on Botchamania. Oh. Find it.
Well, I think we've spoke about Raw, so let's move on to AEW, because I think we're going to spend more time in AEW than any other show this week. Because
before we get to AEW, this is aside from Raw, on social media, Fox Sports on their Twitter page put out a tweet saying who was the best wrestler to never have the WWE title. All right.
Yes.
And then Ryback retweeted that saying,
"Oh, hi.
Guys, wrestling is fake." I mean, this is not word for word, but it's along the lines of this. "Wrestling is fake, and the title is a prop that is given to you. No one has ever won a title in wrestling." Okay? So let's break that down a little bit. Ryback's salty with WWE because there's a lot going on. They've suppressed the social media. Twitter's taking away his check. They're making him spend thousands and thousands of pounds because they think they own the Ryback
name.
Right. He owns it. He owned it before he went to WWE.
Okay.
It's proof. He's going to win, and WWE know he's going to win the lawsuit. But the only thing is, like, WWE know there's no way they're getting the Ryback trademark, but they're continuing it so that he has to spend lots of money to get it.
Yeah, they're trying to make him submit.
Which we've heard they've done that before, right? He's not going to submit, and to his credit, I watch his YouTube stuff, and he's a positive guy. He's someone I would get on with, and he's someone that I would rather support, right? Because he wants the best for everybody. Anyway.
I've only had positive stories about him as well, man. So
yeah. Well, he's not what people say. He's not, like, there's this backlash of things. Like, everybody that talks shit about him, they never look at him. They never follow him, so they don't know, right? But anyway, Jim Cornette had heard about this tweet and then Christ. Tweeted his response. I've yet to hear him verbally undress Ryback on either of his podcasts, but his response on Twitter was something to the effect of, "Listen, you fat back," right? which, in reality, Ryback has abs, right?
Not fat.
Right? And Jim Cornette is in no position to call anyone fat, right? But he was like, "Listen, fat back. In my day, you wouldn't have even been in the business, let alone be able to expose it like you're doing." blah, 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 to that effect. He went proper promo Cornette on Ryback for calling the business fake.
Motherfucker!
Say the business is fake, I'll rip your fucking eyeball out! Motherfucker! but he went on one of them, one of those Trump rants, and I've yet to see a rebuttal from Ryback. I think Ryback's just going to kind of ignore it and block Jim Cornette. But it was quite... I always do like a little saltiness when you see guys teeing off on Twitter. And, you know, they could make that into real... Can you imagine this, right? Just as we move on to the AEW conversation. Tell me this wouldn't be the biggest angle in wrestling. Jim Cornette shows up in AEW, right?
Oh, well...
Right?
It's never going to happen in a million years.
But let's go with it here, right? He shows up in AEW, hits the ring, you know, and stays in Jim Cornette's drive-thru, the Jim Cornette experience, stays in that character. Guys, this is all petite wrestling, blah, blah, blah. I'm here to straighten out, right, this pathetic excuse of a company, right? How can I do that? Because I bought shares from Tony Khan's dad. Right, Tony Khan's dad, Khan, it's Khan to us, but they say Khan, yeah. Right? I've bought shares in AEW, which makes me the majority shareholder, right? Something to that effect, right? And he's like, this is my company now, bitch, right? And he goes on a tirade and starts sacking everybody, right? Sacking everybody.
Yeah, in kayfabe, yeah.
Right? Picks the one person in AEW that could probably... do with the help, maybe not Miro, right? But someone who could go through everybody. He could, with him, build someone, right? And just completely go on the whole badass leader. AEW needs that. Who's in charge of AEW, right? Even if we know it's Tony Khan, he just sits in the back smiling, wearing shorts, right? We need the Eric Bischoff. We need the Vince McMahon.
You're talking about general managers here.
No, but I'm talking... The stakes have to be higher than a general manager. In order for Cornette, and we all know this, in order for him to ever get involved, even gimmick-wise, he would need to own a stake in that company, and he wants to make money. And he's like, I'm going to bring out the people in here that I know can make this legitimate, right? And the rest of y'all, week after week, better watch your back. And every week, man, Jungle Boy's walking down the corridor, and he sends his honcho and smashes hell at Jungle Boy. He's like, you fired, motherfucker! right?
Marco stunt, you're gone.
Jungle Boy, back to the jungle, motherfucker. Mate, I'm telling you, that would be epic. That would be absolutely epic.
I agree with you, because I'm like, yes, I totally understand that Jim Cornette in AEW in any form would be absolute gold, mm-hmm. considering, but I can't get too much into it, because I just know it's like, this is... You're more likely to have CM Punk back in the WWE than you have Jim Cornette in AEW. Oh,
easy. I mean, he's already been on Fox Sports, kind of affiliated with WWE, so of course. But I'm just saying, that would be a good payday for someone like Jim Cornette, and it would be a hell of a gift to the wrestling industry right now to have Jim Cornette show up on AEW and proper go heel.
What I would say, say an AEW official was listening to this and saying, if they like it, I'm going to book it. I would say, if you're listening, yes, absolutely get Jim Cornette to AEW, because it would be fucking gold.
Do you know how I know that? I think Jim Cornette would do it. Do you know why?
Paid him enough money, I suppose.
Well,
but...
aside from that, here's how I know. Just look at history. He worked with the person that he hates most in the whole world, bro, right? Mm, and Vince then, Russo. Right? He worked with Vince Russo and then left WWF, right? Swore that he would have Russo killed to the point Russo got a restraining order, and then worked again with him in TNA.
If he can work with him again...
He could work with AEW.
Now, I get it. But the problem, here's the problem. We'll talk about AEW, because this is the problem. AEW will continue to book segments like what we're going to speak about and continue the book the way they have. And Jim Cornette, whether he's getting paid good money or not, mm-hmm. He's not a wallflower. He is not a man to hold his tongue. He is not the one to go, you know what? That's fine, you go and do your thing. He will say, Yeah, well, he, if you listen to his podcast, you know exactly word for word what he's saying, because he's not shy in saying it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's correct in everything. I do believe he has. There is a lot of more that recently that I have been agreeing with him, and a lot of that I probably echo what he's already said in his podcast this week about this week's show. But yeah, he's not a man that would hold his tongue. He would not do, as much as he'd be great in front of camera, behind the camera, he would. AEW, just a lot of the wrestlers there would not appreciate it, because I get the idea that a lot of these guys are not fans of criticism. They're not that way.
No, so, not at all. When you kind of take constructive criticism from JR.
Some of them can, but a lot of them didn't really cover themselves in glory with the recent comments from JR, and they weren't even that. I mean, this is JR that came out with it. They were very, very, what's the word?
Who's this old boomer? Okay, boomer.
I don't like that. Especially when it's a guy, see if it was somebody who had not had any experience at all. All right, well, it's not really a respectful thing to say regardless, but when it's a guy who is arguably one of the greatest, you know, colour commentators of all time,
mm-hmm.
not just in the last 10 years or like of all time, and he's an icon.
Not only that, right, but did he not put together the best roster of wrestlers in the history of WWE?
Yeah, and he brings AEW a lot, a damn lot of legitimacy as well, because a lot of people, a lot of wrestling fans, or even a lot of people who aren't wrestling fans, listen to AEW. They recognize that voice, you know. Mm-hmm. And as soon as you hear that voice on commentary, even doesn't matter what it's commentating on, it gives it legitimacy, man. So I don't think they boxed clever there. No. So Jim Cornette, let's be honest.
Exactly. I think Jim and Jim, right, both share the same kind of views on it, but Jim,
to an extent,
what is it JR yeah. will say, you know, coerce and don't confront.
Yeah, JR's more diplomatic.
Right, as Jim Cornette is like, motherfucker!
You will not see Jim Cornette in a screaming match against Santino Marella anytime soon.
Because of COVID.
Oh, just because of COVID.
Exactly. So yeah, so we're moving over to AEW now. So
yes,
this show had me raging.
Why were you there? This is interesting. I didn't like this show, but I was not raging. So I want to know why you're raging, mate.
I mean, we'll have to skip to the end of the show to get to that.
That's
end
fine.
Of AEW.
Let's
it
go.
It was the Darby Allin versus Brian Cage match.
Everyone's favourite trolley collector versus, well, like a guy that looks like he was born. guy that was created from steroids, you know what I mean?
Mate, he was born in a lab. Right? He came out of a test tube.
Yes.
Here's the thing. So, again, right, see if we're going to talk about Darby Allin as a wrestler or whatever. Like, if he was in his own lane, fair enough, mm-hmm. right? I'm still trying to see his appeal. I'm not fully there yet. Right, okay, he might look cool.
He's cool to the kids, I think.
Yeah, right, which fair enough. But right, so he comes out, he's got, you know, his title, he's going to defend it against Brian Cage, a fucking monster of a guy,
mm-hmm. right,
who comes out and leathers him. He doesn't he have a wrestling match with him. He beats the utter shit out of him. At one point, he picks him up from the ring and throws him out of the ring through a table. Do you remember back when that would have ended a match?
Yes, very much so. Nah. It's ended matches for bigger... first one that comes to mind is Undertaker. Edge puts him through a table. Well, done. End the match.
Right, John Cena.
Mm.
CM Punk put him through it and then cut that pipe bomb. How long did it take John Cena to get up? Not Darby Allin! Yeah.
Is right? That...
So... Darby gets his, he gets his arse handed to him, and then just has a comeback. He does the whole
hulked up.
Right, so let's just break this down a little bit. If I was in the ring with Darby Allin, I think I could kick his ass. Right?
Yeah.
Brian Cage is kicking your ass.
Yes.
Right? A guy that looks like he could just snap you and eat you, right? Yes. Darby Allin gone. And yet Darby gets up after having his ass handed to him, right? Starts his comeback to the point, well,
Brian Cage can't handle Darby Allin after Darby Allin's just had like 20 minutes of a complete beatdown. So what we'll need to do is have his friends come out, Team Taz, to help him. Because Brian Cage needs help to defeat Darby Allin. Clearly, just look at both of them, right? Of course he does. And then I was like...
But Kevin, you'll realise that Darby Allin needed Sting to beat Cage. You know?
He's an underdog. He's an underdog. He's an underdog. He's a fucking flat.
Yeah, at least Sting did fucking something this week.
No, but here's the thing. See, literally, this is me watching, right? Unless. And then I was like, I seen Team Taz, I thought, and I went like this. Sting. And then the lights went out and I went, Darby's winning. I was like, really? Every time. Is he? Do you know what it's like? It's like Darby Allin goes outside to play Kirby and the big boys come and try and take his ball. And Sting opens a window. Oh! Leave his ball! Leave his ball!
Fuck's sake, that cunt's got a bat. Fuck!
Leave his ball, right?
You see his face in that? Fuck hell.
Like, it's like, is Sting just going to continuously come up to wipe Darby's arse, man? Is he? Is he always just going to be the guy that pops it? It's like that. It's like, Momo go kick in Darby. Nothing. Nothing.
all I'm saying is, if there's another guy that rocks up in AEW that's got face paint, Sting's going to have a choice to make. Fuck. He's got face paint and all.
We're up to the night, Sting. Sting, what's happening with you tonight? Oh, I don't know. Might see who's kicking about. See, what happened to that boy? He's got half his face paint, kind of like you. I think he's doing the ring now, getting his arse handed to him. You what?
No, I think he would be like that. I think he'd be able to, like, watching on a monitor. And then he sees shit go down. And he says to the boy next to him, he goes, get those lights.
Go flick the lights for us, man. Why flick the lights?
He flicks the lights, then the fucking seat's empty.
It's almost.
I remember a chair watching the monitor. Stings to a chain smoker.
He stubs it. Stubs it. Mate, it's like, it's ridiculous. Sting needs to stop. Like, Darby Allin, do you know what I expect to see next week? Do you know what I want to see next week? Sting with a baby carrier and Darby's in it, right? And he's putting the bottle on and going, like, here, just drink that. No, thank.
Ugh, man, you know what? I get where you're coming from. It was, but I'll be honest, it didn't offend me as much as it offended yourself, because I know that, to be fair, Brian Cage being booked this way is not something that just happened this week. It's been this way for a little while. They brought him in because he'd had work elsewhere and he looked like a monster, and they brought him in not knowing what to do with him. It was...
Mate, he's huge. You don't need, you feed him under guys.
How many guys have they brought in like that? They brought in him. Lance Archer was another one. There was no point in bringing late Brody Lee was one of them. Let's be honest. And
he had something else. He had the Bruiser Brody thing going for him. He was different.
I agree with you. I'm not talking about their style of wrestling. I'm talking about they were brought in to be monsters against the current champion at the time, which was of course John Moxley. But I didn't quite understand that, because I was like, we all know Moxley's holding this for a good while. He doesn't. That's what annoyed me about his run. I didn't feel like he needed the belt. Mm-hmm. I felt like Jericho was the right person to carry it first, because he gave it legitimacy. He kind of gave it its kickstart it needed. But when Moxley got it, I was like, I understand it, but I don't think he needed it. Looking at that.
Mate, did you see, I'm sorry to keep banging on a dead horse here, but did you see the move that Darby Allin beat Brian Cage with?
Yes,
he literally lifted up Brian Cage and slammed him. So wait a minute. Brian Cage lifting up a trolley collector and throwing him out the ring through a table. Not enough to get the job done. But this wee boy carries him from the turnbuckle, slams him in the ring. Oh, Brian Cage, it is over. it is over. Sorry, but that shit bothers me. I'm sorry. I wish it
I get it, man. I get it.
I'm like, are you kidding? How am I supposed to get... No.
On another week, it might have bothered me more, but there was a segment on this AEW show that was just so warped and so unusual and confusing, and it was beautiful. But
was it the Britt Baker's?
Oh, let's get started. Yes,
mate, before we go, mate, you looks like your baby will have an accent before I will. Yes, yes.
And Brandy's pregnant. She's off television for 9 months. Best part of the segment. Yes.
And that child will have an action figure before me. Yes.
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 That's
playing on it. It's basically, it's validating what we all think. All right. Oh, they think it too. It tells us that they think it too.
Yeah, absolutely.
And even the sparklers, like, wait, no, can it come in without any pyro? And they've got sparklers for them coming in. Right. Did you see that? Did you see that?
I noticed at the time, but you're totally fucking right.
they had to give him sparklers because he can't enter without big pyro. Yes.
Oh my God, just adds more to this. Right, first of all, right, they've done this segment before, right? The idea that her Piper's Pit is a waiting room for a dentist. I actually quite like that. I think that's quite... Because she plays in that dentist gimmick, it works.
Yeah.
And Cody comes in looking like, I've got nothing else to do this week, so here I am.
with a Snoop Dogg remixed fucking theme song. Is that what he's using now?
It looks like it, doesn't it? Yeah, we never spoke about that last week. You text me afterwards going, he fucking remixed his theme tune.
Of course he has.
See if he's doing this deliberately. He's a genius. But see if he's not, it's beyond... I don't know what to say anymore. So he comes out looking rather confused and rather like, oh, fuck, I'm here, am I doing it? And I was like, why are you there, Cody? Why are you there? And then the chap at the door comes in and there she is. She's back again.
Big Jade.
Oh, my God. Jade Cargill. Oh.
You like?
No. Well, I do and I don't. I'm in a strange place with Jade Cargill because I'm like, who's the one that sat and looked at her, right? Now, don't get me wrong, she's a female specimen.
Mm-hmm.
No arguments there. Can she go in the ring? I don't know. I've not seen her go. She probably can, maybe.
She looks like she can.
You know, one thing she can't do is fucking talk. Oh, my God, it's awful. But it's like a John Travolta and the Fanatic level of awful because she's so bad that it actually becomes good because she's so bad at delivering promos. And it was all just awkward enough. And then I don't know what's happened here, right? But people go sit there going, you obviously don't watch AEW that closely. Another lassie came in, I don't know her name, who looked exactly like Brandy. And I thought to myself, well, that is Brandy.
Yeah, I know.
And I was like, did they recast Brandy or something? And I was like, wait a minute. So is Cody now... is still feuding with Shaq, who's only been in the show once, and
I can never tell because Cody has a different.
What's going on? What is going on? And then they started having a fight, and everything broke out, and then this is the part that really got me. They just hard cut to, I can't remember her name, Thunder Rosa or something, like that. And she was delivering a promo before getting choked out by Britt Baker. I was like, Britt, was she known that? Did this happen before? When did we transition to this segment? It's a bit like me and you speaking right now and then cutting to a scene from like a movie, like that scene in Home Alone when the guy's getting electrocuted and then coming back to us again. It's like, see that bit there? What was that about? I don't know. Watching it, I was just like, this is the most bizarre. It was the first time I watched AEW and went, this really is shit, isn't it? I've been a supporter of AEW since
long
the start.
Before I started watching it, mate.
I've really been pushing for the whole alternative for WWE. I'm not an anti-WWE guy, but I felt like it's needed competition for years. So I've really, when AEW first announced they were going for it, I was like, I'll back you. You've got Jericho on board. You've got the Bucks. I'm willing to invest in a new product, and I've done that, and I've committed to it, and for the majority I've enjoyed it, but this is the first time I've watched it and went, I feel like I couldn't recommend the way it's going. There's a reason why they're playing the bodyguard roles. I mean, Jake Hager can go because he's had a lot of experience, but I totally agree with you. Wardlow, I like Wardlow. I think a big guy's got good potential.
Absolutely. he's got He's got that star factor.
Yeah, he definitely does.
See the match he had with Jake Hager? I don't think that's the correct match for him to have right now. His matches should be short. Play to the strength.
It should be squashes.
Because we all seen through it and we're like, hmm.
Yeah, you know, but we're all smart marks nowadays. For me, it's I wasn't the worst segment they've ever done, the Inner Circle, but there's just too many of them there. They're all talented guys as well. That's the thing. That's Sammy Guevara stole this segment.
There it is, guys. This is exactly where the show cut out. It's a bit of a bummer, but hey, we're not going to beat around the bush on that one. It is what it is, and we will see you guys next week with us being back to the visual. Make sure you also check out the Jibber Jabber podcast, which you'll see coming in the next few days, all visual. Again, apologies, but hey, these things happen. Make sure to like, subscribe, follow us, all that cool stuff, and we will catch you guys on the flip side.